Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the Downstairs Pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned Downstairs Pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kemp, and bellied up to the bar is a man who is still negotiating his NIL numbers to become the new quarterback of the North Dallas Bulls. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
And I'm in charge of all their parties.
You need to get them to up that money, man, because, like, you only got one piece of jewelry on, and I'm a little upset about
it. Well, that's how Nick Nolte rolled in that movie.
Okay.
You know. And I'm not sure about Mac.
Mac Davis. Mac Davis, of course. The late, great Mac Davis.
Are those Parker Warby glasses you got on?
These are Wild Things.
Oh, okay. They got crossbones on them?
A little baseball action.
Want to remind everybody that we are on social media. We have a new social media, one that will be actually, I think, easier for folks to find and to use. We are on Twitter and Facebook. But Fred, last week, made his TikTok debut.
Oh, Lord.
And seem to get some good response there. We're going to start doing that every week. We're going to have, of course, we pick each of us, Tuna, Freddie, and myself, and Colin, pick five games each every week. And then going forward on our TikTok, we will have five games that we all agree on specifically that we feel strongest about, and those will be going out on the TikTok. I guess you call that a stream. The TikTok,
I have no idea.
Or on a TikTok
video.
I don't know how any of that works, but
Freddie,
we're learning.
It's a reel.
Help us out,
yes.
People.
A reel.
Yes.
A reel. And, buddy, it's hard picks this week, I'm telling you.
And so Fred did that last week from the Garage Bar. I think everybody enjoyed seeing the Garage Bar. We'll end up doing one down here so everybody can see where we broadcast from here in the Downstairs Pub at some point in the future. But speaking of our picks last week, kind of an average week for us. It was a below average week for us, but an average week in typical sports gambling. We went 9-11, which brings our season record to still a stellar 82-47-1. I think anybody would take that any day. And this week, there's some tough picks to be made this week.
Man.
But we're going to get back on the right side of 500 this week. And we look forward to doing that at the end of the show. Before we get into the kind of the nuts and bolts, the college football specific stuff that we do, one of us down here had, I think, and we talked about it briefly before we broadcast, I would have to think one of the great weeks as a fan that you could ever have of multiple teams in multiple sports. And, of course, I'm talking about the big fella right over my right shoulder here. Tuna, why don't you just tell us what your sports week entailed last week and how you're feeling after what must have been just an absolutely surreal of, you know, 48 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah. Before I get into Friday, because Friday kicked it all off, I want to get into Sunday. Being a Chiefs fan, I know it was just the Raiders, okay? This is a big rivalry matchup.
Oh, it's like Raiders hate week, right?
Yes, Raider week is a big week in Kansas City. And for the Chiefs to come out looking like the Chiefs from 2018, that was – like, that's the first time Patrick Mahomes has had Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown all on the field at the same time. Like I told you outside, Travis, Chiefs had 30 first downs in that game. The Raiders ran 30 offensive plays in that game. That was it. So when you got Spags clicking on defense like he is, and then you throw that offense being productive again, it's just a different team. It really does. And I'm going to say we're a front runner for the Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes is now a front runner for the betting odds for the MVP. Which is crazy how Baker pretty much had it sealed up, it seemed like. And then one clunker from him, and then Patrick Mahomes looking like Patrick Mahomes of old. But that's enough about Sunday. Let's get into Friday, because that was maybe one of the most special days I've ever had as a sports fan. We're going to go to the Dodgers. I fully expected the Dodgers to win that series against Milwaukee, especially when we jumped out to a 3-0 lead on them. I didn't expect to sweep them in the fashion that we swept them, with Shohei Ohtani maybe having the best performance that I've ever seen on a baseball diamond.
I mean,
maybe the best performance in the history of baseball.
I would have to say.
I would posit that, yes, that it's perhaps one of the best performances in the history of sports, not just baseball.
I completely agree with that. Now, I don't know. There may be some baseball stats from back in the day where guys just put up some ridiculous numbers, you know, before baseball was
right.
Roger Johnson,
yeah, like something ridiculous.
Honus Wagner pitched 88,
yeah, exactly,
innings in a row or whatever, you know.
But to have 10 strikeouts and then follow that up with 3 home runs, I mean, what the hell, dude? Like, the guy's on a different
Babe
level.
Ruthian.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of past that. I mean,
and you got 4 Hall of Famers sitting in that post-game show, which I love listening to those guys.
Yeah.
Or 3. And 3 of the best Hall of Famers ever, really.
Uh-huh.
And, dude, they said what we just said.
Yeah. I'd never seen anything like that. I don't know if we ever will again. So just to witness that and for that to close that series out. The Dodgers have won they're 9-1 in the postseason so far.
Yeah.
Like, it's just an absolute, like, freight train right now. So, and it starts again Friday.
I don't even think Ohtani sweats.
No, he doesn't.
Does he even sweat when he pitches?
I think he's a robot. his mannerisms and everything, whoever made him.
He's an AI.
He could be. And, you know, if that's the future of baseball, then damn it, it's fun to watch. But I'm glad we got the first one. But, man, it was something else. And then I'm going to roll into this football. We're going to go right into this football game and talk about it.
Please.
All right. I don't really know what happened in this game. It was just a full-on blur. But this defense has been playing great all year, and this defense just came out.
Of course, we're talking about the
Louisville-Miami football game. It was an absolute clinic on how to play defense. That big, touted offensive line – from Miami got 0 push against our front four. The linebackers were incredible. The secondary was just locked down. These guys were playing through blocks, man, like I'd never seen. They were hungry dogs right from the start.
Swarming.
And it was incredible to watch. And, you know, Shannon Dawson you know, Kentucky fans are familiar with Shane and Dawson. He was OC there for a while. Shane and Dawson is a good offensive coordinator, but what he does, he's very – there's no real bells and whistles here. He runs a pretty basic offense because he knows he has the talent to win matchups, so he doesn't have to get too creative. Well, they didn't win the matchups in this. And they it was very simple. And the way that we stopped the running game, Fletcher could not get going at all. And that really changed it to where Carson Beck had to do stuff that he was uncomfortable doing, and then he just screwed up over and over again.
Well, I mean, what do you think their yards after catch was? Like two?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it was more than that because Malachi Toney had his game. Like,
well, no, you're right. I keep forgetting that he did have some nice runs.
And that was going into that game. I'm like, if you just let Malachi Toney beat you, and then shut everybody else down, you can stay in this game. And damn it, that's what they did. Took everybody out. You see Michael Irvin on the sideline. Michael Irvin. I forget what receiver it was for Miami, but he got hit in the ribs by Watts so damn hard that he got up and he couldn't breathe. And Michael Irvin's over there on the sideline yelling at him, get those tears off your face. I mean, watching that happen, and then it was – the running game got back. Isaac looked like Isaac again. He was great. I mean, he forced 18 missed tackles in that game. I'm sorry, 16 missed tackles in that game. No other running back had more than 8 the entire weekend. Like, having Isaac back healthy and doing that, it takes so much pressure off. And the fact is, like, Miller Moss, I'm not going to say it clicked for him, but he finally did what Jeff Brohm wanted him to do.
You can tell they had to have a good long meeting this whole week, this past week.
Well, I think when he came in, it was
regroup.
Like, we don't want you sitting back in the pocket. We don't want you running out of the pocket. We want you making quick, decisive throws. I'm going to get the guys open with these slants, and you're just going to not think and just hit. And I think they've been trying to do that with him all year, but he's finally did it. And it was just so nice to see. He wasn't put in position to make too many mistakes.
Yes, I felt like he was schemed into, if this makes sense, schemed into success,
yeah,
to a certain extent, which Brohm has a track record of being able to do that.
Yeah, that's I think what we've been trying to do all year with him, but he reverted back to looking at different receivers, and he stares receivers down so much,
yep.
and it's like he just can't have time to think, and he just has to react because he's got the talent to just react. But having a running game helped. Getting the pass off so quick. Reuben Bain actually won that matchup every time. Yeah. But he had one tackle in that game because they got the ball away so quick. So it's like, yeah, the offensive line, I think in the PFF they only graded at like 38%, something like that, which isn't good. But you don't have to hold your block for 5 seconds.
If you're getting it out in a second and a half, right.
You just gotta hold it long enough for him to do that. And Chris Bell, man, I've been so hard on this guy. He's been so immature and up and down, and you just see flashes of greatness from him.
Man, he's good.
And over the past four games, I mean, he's had over 100 yards. He hit another gear after the catch.
Oh, dude.
It was like
a man among boys.
It was. And I haven't seen that from him. I've always seen the acrobatic catches, the skill that he has.
Right.
But it's always followed up with some kind of
bonehead drop or something.
Yeah, yeah. Or even if he makes a good play, he'll get up and get a personal foul just by being a dumbass. And, man, if he can just be that same mature kid, he could be a first or second round draft pick. I honestly believe he's got the body type and the skill for that. You just got to keep it consistent, man, and he's really been doing it. So that's I love seeing that from him. There's just I can't believe that this happened, honestly. When Isaac Brown fumbled that ball, which I really thought it was over. It was like, well, goddamn, we gave him hell, but it's done now. And then for TJ Capers, a guy from Miami, to come in and to get that last interception the way he did, it was just, man, it was awesome to watch. And that was, honestly, the biggest win in Louisville football history. It's the first time we've ever beat a top five team on the road. It's the boots are back home, which that's one of the trophies I wanted. It's very important to me to get that Schnellenberger trophy.
Isn't it wild that in back-to-back weeks, Indiana and Louisville both had their first ever win on the road against the top five team?
It's insane. Like, we're living in bizarro world.
I know.
Like, I honestly would have gave Louisville maybe a 20% chance to win that game going in, and everything was going to have to go right. And
I thought it was going to be a close game in the fourth quarter, and Miami would end up winning by 10 or 13 or something like that. But it just kept being close.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And honestly, as we've talked, it shouldn't have really ever been that close.
No. The way that game started out, Jeff Brohm was like deep in a bag of tricks.
Yeah.
Like, we had three quarterbacks lined up out wide, none of them under center, and we're just doing crazy stuff just to set Miami back and make them think a little bit. Like, and what in the hell is this going on?
That early fake field goal
kind
of sets the tone, which I thought was hilarious because as the play is unfolding and ending, I'm watching it up, you know, on my couch, and I'm like, yeah, first down. And it took me a second because the Miami players were all jumping around like they had done something. I was like, wait, did they call a penalty or is there something? But I think that the Miami players thought it was goal to go. And when they stopped them, that they got the ball. But I was like, no, they got a first down at like the half inch line.
I don't think they understand how downs work. Like, this is a Mario Cristobal team, and it showed. Like, we knew that he was due for a bonehead Mario Cristobal experience. Let's talk about Mario Cristobal for a minute.
Please.
Because this, first of all, Miami was shooting themselves in the foot with just stupid penalties left and right. And we needed that to happen to stay in this game. And it was just constant. They couldn't get anything going without doing something stupid. And then right there at the end, they have three timeouts left. They start playing for the tie just to go for the field goal. They were not even trying to take a shot at the end zone. Nope. And our defense was kind of on their heels at that point.
Absolutely.
No sense of urgency. Didn't even want to score seven. I'm not sure what his plan was.
And look, if you're going to play for the field goal, run the damn ball up the middle.
Yeah.
You don't throw it to the outside across the grain or whatever.
Like, no.
What are you doing?
No. That's an immature, talented football team, and it showed.
And the quarterback is anything but immature.
Yeah.
He's
old, but he's immature. Yeah.
I was about to correct myself.
Yeah.
I mean, he's has a lot of experience.
Yeah.
But he still makes immature, dumb plays. And, I mean, he could have thrown six interceptions that night. He threw four officially. But there was a couple that easily could have been that weren't.
Yep. That whole team is insanely talented. But, man, they're poorly coached, and they just
– they're going to lose another game.
I agree. I think they are. I'm curious to see how they rebound from this, how the locker room is, because – when Carson Beck comes out and calls out his receiver for running the wrong route.
You want to talk
about
a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, even if that, and it probably was, I'm sure that that what he said was right.
You don't say it.
But you just say, hey, look, I gotta be better. I can't make that throw. And then in the locker room, you say, hey, man, we got to be on the same page. But you can't go out in a press conference and sit there as the leader of your team and go, well, yeah, I didn't do it. I mean, the other guy ran the wrong route. You can't. You just can't do
no.
that.
No. Like, he could have went out and called Mario Cristobal out and been like, I don't even know what the hell yeah. we were doing.
Why
like,
were we throwing that?
Yeah, why were we even doing that? I don't know. It was it's Carson Beck. It's what he was at Georgia, and it hasn't changed at Miami. So I thought that he had kind of taken that next step at Miami. He's been solid all year. I was about to eat my words on that. I was about to eat a big old bowl of crow, but not anymore. Well, he's exactly what I thought that he was.
I'm so glad you didn't have to.
I know.
That little – and there's very few, like, athletes, especially college kids, uh-huh. that I, like, actively root against, mm-hmm. and he's one of them.
Absolutely. He's – yeah, he's an easy kid to root against. I'm not even going to call him a kid. He's like 22.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, hell, he's older than half the NBA. So, I mean, we don't call them kids.
Right.
But it's, yeah, I got nothing for him. I'm so glad that they picked that game to really crap their pants. We needed that, man, because the big thing is it gave me hope again. My hope for the season was pretty much gone
yeah.
after you lose to Virginia in overtime at home. And then now it's like, all right, we got a chance now. It's a long shot, but it's a chance. And that's more than we had. So,
I mean, yeah, if y'all can keep playing that way and just keep that. I mean, you all played with a chip on your shoulder.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt. As you said, you've said it all. There's nothing I can put in on that because I just want to see it. Like, I can't tell you how many U of L fans said, I do not recognize this team.
No.
In the first half and the second half, like what's going on? And if you can just keep that consistency, mm-hmm. and I think maybe they were down on their quarterback a little bit, you know, but the defense, as you said, has always been playing good.
Mm-hmm.
They really have.
And a big underrated thing here, and I'll make it quick, was Trevante Sylvester coming back out there playing left tackle. That really helps. And you're able to move Musa over to guard, and it kind of shored that up a little bit. Like I said, that still wasn't a great offensive line performance, but they did enough to get by with that. And if you add in a running game, you get a healthy Isaac Brown, I think that we can compete, and we might be favored in almost every game for the rest of the year.
I could see that.
Yeah, maybe SMU yeah. down at SMU could be one
that's
that
gonna be a toughie.
We're not, but yeah. It's nice, man.
Well, that was awesome, and I was, the first thing I thought of, I mean, the Louisville and the Dodgers game are happening, and I'm like, oh, my God, I mean, somebody needs to check on Tuna and make sure that he's still,
yes.
like, ambulatory and not just melted into some sort of a puddle.
I was with close friends watching that, and we were just, like, just in shock, and like we had, you know, both games on at once, and I'm just like I paced pretty much for the entire like 3 hours,
yeah,
4 hours almost. It was a long football game, and then but yeah, and then the baseball game on top of it. It was just I didn't want to go to sleep because I wasn't sure I was going to wake up Saturday.
Right. And then I'm just going to quickly touch on the Indiana game because there's not a lot to say about it except for this. Indiana, you know, rolls Michigan State as we thought they were going to. But there are just a few coaches out there that are on, and we've talked about it on this podcast. Bielema is one of them that's on my never root for list. Jonathan Smith, you've made the list. Let me tell you something. Indiana goes down, kicks a field goal to go up 28 points. They just need to cover by 26.5. There's a minute and a half left. Indiana has their fourth string defense in. Now, look, here's the thing. I get it. And Michigan State had their backups in. I have no problem with Michigan State going down and trying to score a touchdown. I have zero problem with that. But it was fourth and goal or fourth down or whatever it was at the 18-yard line. You let those guys try to score a touchdown. That's what you do.
Yep. Well, get your walk-ons in the end zone, man.
Guess what this asshole did?
Yeah.
He trotted out his field goal team to kick a field goal so that they would cover the spread.
Him and Scott Frost this year, both of them.
And let me tell you something. I mean, I can't imagine.
That's a Stoops move.
It cost me a lot of money.
Stoops scored a touchdown against Georgia.
Yeah.
And
remember,
it cost a lot of people a lot of money. And I texted Colin as soon as it happened. And I said.
You weren't the only one.
I said, I would never hope anybody gets fired. I would never hope that. But if he doesn't get fired and he stays at Michigan State, I will root for them to lose every game they ever play. If he gets fired or if he leaves and goes to be a coordinator somewhere, I will find out where he is, and I will root against that team. And I hope that team loses every game that they ever play. And when he's coaching after he retires, if he coaches his grandson's team, I'm going to find out where he's coaching, and I'm going to root against his grandson's team. That was the most inexplicable thing I have ever seen in football in my life. And Jonathan Smith, I hope somebody that likes Michigan State hears this. And I'm sorry, I've had friends that went there. Michigan State, I've never really had a problem with you, but now you're on the list. And I hope you lose every game.
Van Pelt said it nicer than you, but you
I kind of hate this because I kind of like Jonathan Smith from back at the Oregon State days.
And I did too.
You know, and but it's now, like, he's on the list.
Well,
Tuna.
I think he's like, you know how not to get fired? Make the boosters happy by covering the spread.
I said he literally did that because he knew what the spread was.
Yep.
And at the end of the season, he can go, well, I mean, we covered the spread in 8 of 11 games or 8 of 12 games or whatever. Or, I was at at the daddy-daughter dance, right? And we're waiting in line to get our caricatures made. And I'm watching it on my phone, and I had almost kind of like I was ready to turn it off. And they trotted that field goal unit out there. And in front, I mean, I just involuntarily at the top went, "What are you doing?" And I looked around, and like all these people that are in there are like looking at me. And I was like, "No, no, 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 no. It's just a football game. I wasn't talking to my kid or whatever, you know." But anyway.
Don't worry. She's used to it.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about the Indiana-Michigan State game is that Indiana played well offensively. Their defense played fine. They gave up at the very beginning. They gave up a touchdown drive and a field goal. That was it. They probably could have scored 50 points if they wanted to, but you know, the whole fourth quarter, they pretty much were just running the ball. Oh, and I do have a rules question for you guys.
Yeah.
And it came up in this Indiana game where the Indiana receiver catches the ball in the end zone. He catches it. He puts his toe down in bounds, drags it, but then his heel touches out of bounds. Why is that not a catch in college football?
I thought it was.
They came on, the rules analyst came on and said that, and it was because he was going backwards, and they, so for some reason, the rules analyst said, if you're going backwards, your whole foot has to touch inbound.
I did not know that
rule. If your toe touches first, but your heel lands out of bounds, that is considered no catch. Because they went back to the, on the video review, they called it incomplete, I think, at the time. And they went back to video review, and I was like, oh, my God, he caught that, clearly. It was obvious he put his toe in. But then the rules analyst goes, no, by letter of the rule, if you're going backwards. He said, if it was over the shoulder and your toe touched, it counts. But if you're going backwards, your whole foot has to touch inbounds, which I had never heard.
I'd never heard of that before in my life.
I hadn't either.
That sounds like shenanigans to me.
I was curious about it. if you knew anything about that.
I didn't know anything about that at all.
Well, not to belabor that point, but that was...
Yeah, no, I've got to look into that rule because I'd never heard that. We've watched so many crazy things get reviewed over and over again.
That was the first time I'd ever heard that.
The amount of college football that's consumed in this room just between the three of us, you feel like we would have heard that before.
Yes.
And there's just no... Yeah, I don't know.
One would have thought, but yeah, no, that was a new one to me. So while we're doing our, the three of ours teams... Freddie, let's talk about the big win against Rocky Top, huh?
Well, third Saturday in November. I mean, in October, and I feel like it's already November. But we had enjoyed my cigar Saturday night while you all were watching all your games. 37-20. I feel like it was closer than that.
Pick six.
That changed the whole
that was the game.
Yeah, it
changed
was
the whole thing.
Look, I'm looking at the first downs, 27 to 23 yards, 410 to 373. Time of possession, 28 to 31. Penalties, 8 each. Rushing, 140 to 120. Everything is exactly equal. Except they had a fumble. And we had an interception for a touchdown. And in my opinion, that is the game.
A 99-yard or 100-yard interception for a touchdown.
And in my opinion, that was the game. I mean, they never could regroup from that. Tennessee couldn't. I do want to give a shout-out to a couple people that actually kicked ass in that game. Jam Miller, 15 yards. Turns out we didn't need him. Ryan Grubb gets a lot of credit on this. Some of our offensive play calling has just been spectacular. Jeremy Bernard had 5 rushes for 50 yards on top of his great outing catching. Ryan Williams had his 6 catches, 87 yards. But I want to shout out, and hell, their running back, Bishop, had 147 yards. 2 touchdowns, and Aguiar played a good game.
No.
They had one receiver that had 10 catches for 92 yards.
I think this is a damn good Tennessee team.
Yeah.
Like, I've been adamant about that all year, and that's an excellent win for Bama.
It really is.
The score doesn't reflect the game, but, like...
And then there was more of that time managing to finish the game and win. This time, we didn't have to kick field goals. We scored.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think our defense... came up big. I'm going to tell y'all, there's a freshman that's playing for Bama right now on defense. His name's Jean-Zay Pierre, true freshman. Dude, this guy is an absolute beast. He had 3 sacks, and I love how our coach is like, we're just starting to fit him in. 3 sacks.
Is he the first French national to ever be a great Alabama.
Don't let him play with
player.
Fireworks.
Hey, I did not know much. Yeah. I did not know much of Pierre, but Pierre had 3 sacks for a loss of 35 yards. Those plays at the beginning of the game were huge. 2 15-yard sacks. He had 6 tackles, 6 solo, a deflection. I'm telling you right now, watch out for Jean-Zay Pierre. We've got a freshman wide receiver that's coming on, too. I am really ecstatic of how we're playing. I hope we don't go down there and poop the bed down there in South Carolina, but that team is not good at all.
They won't.
I just couldn't imagine.
They won't.
Obviously we might – I don't even think we're looking ahead to LSU, so because they're not good either.
No.
So, anyways, that's really, interception and a fumble, huge interception, and that's the ball game, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down, Fulmer.
So let's bounce around, just touch on a few of these games. We got a lot of games to get to for this coming week. But just quickly, let's just touch on a couple of big games that have some playoff implications. Let's start with LSU traveled to Vandy. Vandy coming off a bye week, big bounce back win. They win 31-24 in a game that wasn't even that close.
Yeah, we pretty much called that.
last week. LSU's got some problems.
Yep, they got problems. They're just stagnant. I don't know what's going on. I'm not quite sure LSU fans know what's going on. Maybe Johnny could give us a little intel to that, but I don't know. Vandy is looking sharp.
Well, Pavia did his Pavia things, and
they're not celebrating when they beat a team like LSU. Which,
I was going to actually mention that. I was so pleased. Because the announcers on TV even brought it up. They said, do you think that they'll storm the field after they win this game? And the whoever the color commentator was, he goes, I don't think so. He said, I think now they expect to win these games.
They expect to win.
And yeah. I love that.
And they were thinking about next week.
No, because they got
more business to take care
of. They got another big one.
Exactly.
So that was awesome. Pavia played great. The defense played well enough. I mean, LSU from an offensive standpoint, I had a hard, and I was really.
I mean, and they're not playing horrible. They did score 27 points, but they just can't get it together to win the games.
Well, Vandy did a very smart thing where they got ahead, and then they said, LSU, if you're going to score on us, it's going to take a long time. These are going to be, and Vandy ran 7-8 minute drives all day. And then I think the smartest play of the whole thing, and why the game ended up closer than what it probably was at the very end, Pavia's running in for the, you know, to go up 14 and slides down at the 2, which I thought was the ultimate kind of kick in the nuts that they could take 3 knees and get out of there.
Sorry, Josh, he's rubbing it in.
Well, no, I'm not. But
we know you're dude, you've been following Vandy for a long time.
That was a great win for them. Georgia Tech and Duke, we had talked about that game as possibly being a difficult one for Tech, and it was close most of the way, but Tech.
That was such a weird game because Duke outplayed them in every aspect of the game except the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, dude, the first quarter, Duke was
marching down the field.
And then they left the ball laying on the 1 yard line. Then they ran it back.
And that happened eight times. That may have been the worst historically bad goal line offense.
Oh, my
that
gosh. You could,
like, consistently in that game.
It reminds me of the Bama Tennessee game.
You look at the box score in that and you're like, how in the hell did Georgia Tech win this football game?
Right.
That's typical Georgia Tech shit, though. That's what
Georgia
they do.
Georgia Tech does that. Yeah. And, you know, kudos to them.
Georgia gets a big win at home against Ole Miss in a top 10 matchup. Well, I mean, just from a standings or a ranking standpoint and for what could potentially be going
forward, finding ways to make the
SEC championship game.
One of these two teams is going to get in the playoff, and I don't like it. I don't think
their defenses are definitely hurting.
Yeah, what's going on with Kirby that's going to give up 35 points?
He's been doing it regularly.
Yeah, I know
it. I don't know. I really don't know. But they are finding a way to win, and they remind me of the same team they were last year, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think Gunnar Stockton's a little better than Carson Beck.
Yeah, I agree. Gunnar Stockton's a good little player.
Yeah, and he's a gutsy little dude. He's kind of fun to watch. Yeah. It's just, this offense and the defense, I don't know. Neither of these teams, I don't think, are top 10 teams.
And then how about a team that I declared that their season was basically over last week welcomes in a team that I think all three of us had really thought was playing some of the best football in the country, although they didn't have their quarterback, so that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
But Arizona State pulls out a big win against Texas Tech. I would not overreact to that
game at all. No.
And they made a hell of a comeback.
I would not overreact to that game at all.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're banged up. And
they're a different team without Baron Morton.
Oh, for sure.
It's just clearly, it's totally different. That defense still fought. Arizona State played good. Jordan Tyson was incredible. Everything.
Arizona State coming off a bye. They were fresh.
And they're a good, well-coached
Texas
team.
Texas Tech's here and how great they are. Mm-hmm. I saw their coach on Barstool. And not that that matters, but
the big thing with them is they didn't have their stud.
I'm more impressed with what Arizona State did because I thought they were reeling the other direction, and now they've popped into the swing.
That was a huge win for them. That was a huge win for them. Yeah. Oregon bounces back from the Indiana game and just, I mean, poor Rutgers. I don't know if you guys watched any of that game, but it was I think it was 40 something to nothing at halftime.
Yeah, Lil J took Oregon, and I think I live bet them for 59 and a half.
A&M Arkansas.
And then they let them score a touchdown, by the way, Tana.
This
Can
is another
you
one. A&M kind of had this one in the bag, and then Arkansas just kind of went crazy there at the end.
You know what? Arkansas is one of those teams that I don't want to play.
No, well, Bobby's crafty,
score
man.
A lot of points. I mean, but
right, but
you're going to end up winning even if they score a lot of points. You're going to win 55-52.
They're staying in these games.
Yeah, they are.
They have not lost that locker room. They are playing.
Bobby is 2-0 versus
ball.
The spread.
And A&M, when the hell do they get a bye? Gosh, I mean, they're playing again this week. Like,
I know.
I feel like all these other teams have had two and three byes, and they just keep playing every game.
Yeah.
Let's talk quickly about Texas went to Kentucky, and we talked about it, that we thought that that game might be a lot closer than what a lot of people thought. And by God, not only was it close, I mean, I felt like Kentucky just completely blew that game.
Yeah, why don't you run the ball three times in overtime? Come on.
You want to talk about a game where one team dominated statistically?
Yeah.
Kentucky dominated
statistically.
I mean,
are you telling me that the offensive coordinator, one of them, cannot come up with anything in overtime to get a freaking touchdown? Like three runs in a row? Is that as good as it gets?
I'm afraid it is.
I mean, come on,
Fred.
Dude.
I'm afraid it is.
Give me a break already. See, like, they just loaded the box on them. They didn't get no creativity, no nothing. They've got tight ends that can catch.
That was like a six-year stretch where Stoops did that constantly, and it worked. And it's because they had dominant offensive lines. Chris Rodriguez and Benny Snell, and they had that stretch. And then they had great offensive lines.
They still have a good running back. He's
going
to play on
Sundays. I'm with
you.
The offensive line is not the big blue wall that they used to have.
Right.
And so you can't keep doing it. And Stoops is caught up in this era where he had success, and it's not working right now.
Just a little play fake. Tight end comes off the side. Boom. Like,
he has no faith in his players to make plays.
You know those play calls when you got one play to win the game or try to put it in overtime and you throw it in the back corner of the end zone? Yeah, Randy Moss is the only man in the world that can catch that, period. So other teams don't try it. And Mark Stoops, get creative. Come on.
Notre Dame beats USC by 10. In a game that I felt like USC was in at one point, and then they just figured out that Notre Dame was going to bully them, and they did. Yeah. And
Jeremiah Love took their soul away.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and that's what they've been doing lately. They've been just wearing teams down.
We talk about it. Every year that ends in a five, a player that's not a quarterback has won the Heisman Trophy. So Jeremiah Love may be a guy to keep an eye on because these Heisman voters are staring down Notre Dame players.
What's their record right now?
They're 5-2.
Mm-hmm. 5-2. Okay.
They lost those two early ones.
And they're going to end up – I mean, they're going to end up – he's going to put up some monster numbers in the next 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah. Not bad for a guy that got, like, what, 4 carries against Miami to open the season?
Oh, my God.
Jesus, dude.
I think they figured that out.
Yeah, thank God, because he's really, really good. The other guys, was it Price, Darian Price?
Yeah.
He's really good, too.
Yep. Missouri keeps their playoff hopes alive, their SEC championship game hopes alive, by winning in double overtime at star-crossed Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Auburn's lost some of the most gut-wrenching losses this year at home.
That's
at night.
Says a lot about Missouri and drink here.
I know.
To pull that off and hang on.
Definitely had a cigar around the fire pit.
I'm telling you, dude, Saturday I love night. This Missouri team, and you're not going to convince me that Georgia or Ole Miss is a better team than them.
I know. I know you. Here you are telling me about Vandy, Missouri, Tennessee, good teams, and I'm kind of feeling good because Bama's beat all three
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, I've said it from the start. I think Bama's the best team in the SEC. Them and Texas A&M are right there.
Right.
And I think Missouri's – hell, that game against Bama and Missouri was a good game.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yep. So,
and then the last one I wanted to touch on quickly, BYU moves to 7-0.
The Holy War.
The comeback kids.
That was an awesome game. It was fun. Game day was there, all that. Utah, you know, valiant effort, but BYU, again, finds a way to win.
They just keep continuing to find a way to win at the end of these games. I mean, there's a few teams out there that continue to do this. Houston is another team that keeps making a comeback to win the game.
When we talk about BYU, I mean, we got to talk about Bear Bachmeier.
Oh, yeah.
A freshman.
Yeah.
And he's out there in these comeback wins, and he's not doing anything spectacular. He's managing the game and making the throws that he's asked to make, and he's doing it with so much poise as a freshman. Like, it's insane to see.
I know.
And just what an incredible atmosphere there in Provo. These two teams, whenever they get together, it's a blast, man.
Yeah.
And for people that don't watch – a lot of college football or watch like West Coast, look up what it looks like out there at BYU Stadium. I mean, it is unbelievable at night, especially.
It's gorgeous, man.
Just unbelievable. And the way the stadium is set up and the way they have it lit and everything, it looked awesome on television.
They got to offer something to these student athletes.
I
want to
give a quick shout out to UAB because my group of five, team Memphis 6-0 has been playing fantastic. Got upset, so kudos to UAB and their new coach, Chris Mortensen's son.
Yeah,
which that happens when you get a new intern coach. You come in, you rally the
sometimes.
Troops.
Sometimes.
If you're UCLA and UAB, I guess. But
yes.
But no, that was a hell of a an upset right there because I do think Memphis may have been looking ahead to South Florida a little bit.
Great this game week. This weekend, though, between
those two. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. Any other games that you guys that we kind of just touched on the big matchups that had big implications? Was there anything else that kind of struck you last week before we move into a preview of this weekend's ball games?
No, I mean, just maybe like another SEC team that I think is really good is Oklahoma. They went into South Carolina and kind of manhandled them.
Yeah, I kind of didn't talk about that because I feel like South Carolina
they're not very good.
Just isn't good.
No, they're not. And but it was nice to see Oklahoma kind of get back on track after losing that the Red River shootout.
Right, and there you have a huge home game this week.
Yep.
Huge.
Yep.
And the following week, they're going to get their ass whooped.
So I thought we would start the preview of this weekend's games with a huge, you know, there's 1, 2, I'm looking at the list here. There's only two games that are top 25, both teams are in the top 25.
It's kind of an average week. A lot of hard picks.
But there are some, even a lot
three.
Of these games that don't have.
We got three of them.
Oh, am I missing?
LSU, A&M. You got that one? Missouri, Vandy, LSU, A&M, and Ole Miss and Oklahoma.
Where is LSU and A&M on here?
7 o'clock, I believe. 7:30 ABC.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Yep. I'm staring right at it. Yeah. So there's three top. So let's start with the Texas A&M and LSU game. LSU is at home. It's a night game. LSU, a 2.5 point underdog at home in a league night game. Mm. I don't think that's normal, right?
It's not. It says a lot about what's going on this year. But I think the Vegas has a lot of respect for A&M also here.
This game, that's one of my feel factor games.
Well, tell us about it, Fred.
Well, I'm just saying that I don't – that I have a – I'm definitely not touching this game. And I think if – I'm thinking about what I said about 15 minutes ago, and I'm like, man, Texas A&M hasn't had a break. They haven't had, it seems to me, like a bye week or anything to just get healthy, regroup.
Them and LSU have both played 7 games.
Right, okay.
Same amount of games. I think A&M, didn't they have a bye week after Notre Dame?
Like week three,
they did. I think week three they did. And I'm not quite sure who A&M, if they have a huge, I mean, this is a big game. They have a bigger game. But
they did have a bye week after.
Look, LSU is not playing well. I know everyone's going, how can you dog them out and say they're not playing well and then say that they could pull the upset here? Well, I think they can. I think this game is going to be tight. And I think A&M, this is a trick game. This is a – one of those games.
Well, they certainly.
Whit Week's going to be playing?
I don't know.
They need him on the field.
Yeah. Certainly, LSU is going to feel like they have their backs to the wall.
Exactly.
Kelly's going to be talking about this all week. We cannot lose this ball game for a myriad of reasons. It's going to be wild there. It's night. It's in Death Valley. It's going to be crazy. I tend to think that A&M is just too good.
That's where I'm at with this.
I do too, but this is one to keep an eye on. If they come out of there and whoop, I mean, you know, they just were at home, you know, they were at Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
Man, I just, goddamn, talk about ice bath. Yeah. Dude, I feel like they're getting run down, and this is one of those games where this upset could happen. LSU go come in and actually give them their first loss. I have a strange feeling.
It could be. I just think the way that A&M's proven that they can play on the road in hostile environments by
going to Notre Dame
and winning up there.
Yeah,
that was a night game. I think A&M's just too good. But yeah. I'm with you, man. Crazy things happen in Baton Rouge.
I know.
It does. Let's stay in the SEC. Let's talk about Ole Miss and Oklahoma. Ole Miss traveling to Oklahoma. Oklahoma favored by 4.5 points.
As they should be.
This is a nooner on ABC. What do you guys think about this?
I think Oklahoma kicks the snot out of them.
Yeah.
Do you really?
I really do.
I feel like Oklahoma's going to win. I feel like it's going to be like every Ole Miss game. It's just going to – one team scores, one team scores.
I think this Oklahoma defense is going to cause Lane some fits.
But I think they will. I agree with you, Tana. I think this is going to be an Oklahoma win.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to come to T-Town for their payback. We'll see what happens because that game's going to be huge.
Well, then let's stick in the SEC. Let's go to 3:30, game day, traveling to Nashville.
A much-needed Vandy game day, by God.
For Vanderbilt and Missouri, both teams at 6-1. Missouri comes in ranked 15th, Vandy ranked 10th. Vandy, a 2.5-point favorite. What do you guys think is going to happen in this ball game?
There's a lot of black and gold in this game.
There is a lot of black and gold in this game.
There's a lot of little pricks in this game.
Yeah, there is. There could be some fighting and scrapping
players,
going on here.
Oh, dude, there's going to be some scrapping going on in this.
I think this is an Ahmed Hardy game. I think he goes off in this game. I really do. Yeah. I think Missouri controls the clock in this game. And I think Missouri is the better team.
Wow.
And gets the win.
Okay. I'm leaning towards Vandy. I'm actually taking Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm leaning towards Vandy, which, hey, they're coming off a big win at home versus LSU. You know how it is. They're probably going to come out flat a little bit. And you don't want to come out flat on it against a team like Missouri, like you said, with a quality running back. But I'm leaning towards Vandy continuing on and winning this this game.
I'm going to tell you why Vandy doesn't come out flat.
Okay.
Because last Saturday, and this has been a something that if you follow Vanderbilt football for any length of time, you know, Nashville's a cool city to travel to, right? It's a fun place to go.
It's getting out of control.
And Vandy, you know, to be fair, does not have much of a football tradition. So typically the stadium will be, you know, in the games that I've gone to there, most times it's 70-30, sometimes 80-20. I really felt like last weekend, like the Vandy people were going to show up and show out. And it was, I'm telling you, it was 70% LSU last week. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen this week. This will be the first game that Vanderbilt has played in that building since they've redone it, where they are going to have a decided home field advantage. Those people are pumped. They've already put stuff out on social media about if you sell your tickets. And I don't think, like, hell, Missouri fans don't even go to Missouri games.
I don't know. That crowd's pretty good out there.
It's okay, but they're not.
I mean, they're under construction right now, like Vandy was for years.
But they're not going to travel. This is going to be a 90% Vanderbilt crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and this is, I mean, this is, and I love Missouri. I love their coach. I love their running back. I love their quarterback. But this is a game that I feel like Vandy takes control early, and they never relinquish it. And that is coming not from my head.
Mm.
That is coming straight from my heart. Anchor down, boys.
I'm going to say it real quick. Like, I've got a handful of teams that I think can compete for a national championship that, like, are legit contenders. And I think Missouri is one of those teams. I really do. I think this is a complete, 100% complete football team at every level, offensively and defensively.
Yeah.
And I look for Missouri to
Don't bring logic into this. Do not bring logic into this, Tuna.
Well, Vandy's the favorite here.
Well,
so Vegas believes with you.
Well, I mean, really, they think it's a pick 'em.
Yeah.
I mean, really, they think Missouri is favored by a half a point.
Mm-hmm.
If you go strictly by what they say, but that's going to be awesome. That's 3:30 on ESPN. It's going to be great. I cannot wait to watch that game.
Pavia better not hang out at the Pavia Bar and Grill too long the night before.
Well, his brothers will hold that down. I wanted to talk about this BYU-Iowa State game. BYU 7-0, obviously coming off the huge win we just talked about, traveling to Ames, and Iowa State favored by 2.5. I think this is a this is an awesome ball game at 3:30 on Fox.
If you put money on this game, then you're just crazy.
I agree.
I don't want any part of betting this game.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to see how it plays out.
Right. You got Iowa State coming off a bye. They're well-rested, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
They came off a loss, a bad loss, really. And then you've got BYU that's been winning by the skin of their teeth. They probably need a little rest at some point. But, man, this is a tough place to play. Great coaching at Iowa State, no matter – even if they did have a bad loss. Man, this could be the one. This could be the game that BYU loses.
Mm-hmm.
This could be their first loss right here. There's a this one and Texas A&M were the two games I was looking at when I was looking to make my picks. Like, I just don't know. I mean, we've got to talk about this.
Yeah, bro. Dude, this FIU
Let's
game that's on TV.
Not a timeout. We want to tell the listeners about this for like 2 minutes.
This Florida International game. They got their field painted in Miami Vice colors.
Miami Vice, the
and
whole
then
field.
They had a Lamborghini on the field.
They do. Like, their uniforms are pink, hot pink, light blue, and
turquoise.
Black.
It's turquoise. The full. Yeah.
And look at their face mask.
I love it.
And they literally, like, Travis, if you look at the end zone, it's literally painted with the same font as Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Well, they better bring out Crockett and Tubbs because they're getting their ass kicked.
That's right,
because
Freddie bet Kennesaw State. They're one of the hottest low-life teams there are.
Dexter Williams Jr., baby.
Anyways, yes, we are definitely this game has watch out BYU all over it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I think that Cincinnati at 6-1, welcoming Baylor into their building. Cincinnati's a 4.5-point favorite. This is on ESPN2 at 4:00.
Could be 150 points scored in this game.
Yeah, right. I mean,
and I think Cincinnati's going to win this game. I hate to say
they
Baylor
should.
Is battle tested though.
They should,
but they just lost a TCU team at home that lost a couple dirt dog games before that. And I can't believe TCU turned around, and I told you I was never betting them again. I'm never betting Baylor this year anymore. And now TCU turns around, beats Baylor. Now Baylor's playing a Cincinnati team coming off a bye that's, what are they, 5-1?
Six and one.
6-1. I think Cincinnati's going to beat them.
They should be.
They probably will. I flipped my script. I'm pulling for Cincinnati to win every game they play now. And the reason is
– because then you want to see them falter at the
end. No. I want one of these – because there's tons of big-name jobs opening up. I want Satterfield to go to LSU
State.
Or Penn State or something just ridiculous. Florida State. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Put him down in Florida. Yeah. I want to see it, dude, so bad.
That's so funny.
That would be the greatest thing that ever happened.
Absolutely.
And do you wonder if there is any chirping going on down – you know, like Brian Kelly, is there any whispers going on?
That guy's on the
hot
seat every time he gets behind a microphone.
I know, but is there whispers of Penn State going on around here?
Probably.
I've heard there's whispers in Iowa State that guy has been wanting to go to the Northeast.
Matt Campbell?
Yes. I heard it on a couple talk shows. Not Feinbaum either. I heard it on Barstool.
If Penn State hired Brian Kelly, they may just shut their football program down. Like,
I want to see the press conference.
You don't fire James Franklin
he
to hire Brian Kelly. That's crazy.
Well, dress
hell,
like he's
that's
Amish.
Why Josh told me. He goes, "I'll take." He goes, "I'll take James Franklin over Brian Kelly right now."
I would agree with
that.
Yeah,
I would totally agree with that.
Oh Lord!
Well, you got to get someone. I mean, Bear Bryant's dead.
How about this? USF Memphis game? The game is at Memphis. Memphis is getting 5.5 points. That's a nooner on ESPN2. That is a very important game for playoff implications.
Oh, I tell you what, if Memphis didn't lose that game last week,
I'd say
Florida, South Florida would.
Or,
handle
them. I thought you were going to say we were going to drive down and go.
Oh, I would. don't think I won't do it. I'll go to Liberty Land right now.
I was going to say, Tuna loves the Liberty Bowl, baby.
They got turkey legs down there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But, no, if Memphis didn't lose, then I think South Florida would come in and handle them easy. But Memphis coming off of that loss, man, losses do crazy things to teams. We'll see how they handle
that.
And that's
a conference loss.
Yeah. They have to win this one.
They have to win this one. Man, I just don't know. And Memphis is one of them teams that they will make. If they're down, they can come back.
Oh, yeah.
But they just came up too short in that. And like Travis said, that game was nuts at the end.
Yeah.
The loss this past Saturday.
They totally blew it.
But
they had the game,
yeah,
and they totally blew it.
But, man, I don't know if Memphis is one of those – run down your throat, play good defense, da da da, and I just don't think they can keep up with South Florida.
South Florida's really, really good football team.
South Florida's gonna win. As much as I'm a Memphis guy,
I think they're on a whole different level.
Mm-hmm.
Personally,
I think South Florida's gonna win this, and if not, go Dana Kirk, go Larry Finch, let's go Keith Lee.
Yeah,
Baskerville Holmes.
There you go. Elliot Perry.
I mean, I don't know. Like, our local teams here, Virginia Tech comes to Louisville.
No, Boston College.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, yes. Boston College comes to Louisville.
They're horrible.
Louisville is a 25.5-point favorite. I mean, my whole thing, I wouldn't worry about losing this game. I would worry about keeping the momentum going forward, right?
I wasn't worried about losing to Stanford last year right after we beat Clemson.
No,
but it happened.
Different.
This is Brohm does the the big game, lose the crappy game.
He may come out a little flat in this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I don't know if we win. Cover that 25, but like Louisville should win this by double digits. That's a bad football team
right,
up there.
Like,
really
so,
are.
That's what I'm saying. You just want to keep the momentum going forward.
Mm-hmm.
If you cover or not, who cares? I don't think anybody's
betting
this
that.
Game.
Yeah.
I would not touch that game. Mm-hmm. 25.5 is too many in a game like this.
Yep.
That's just kind of how I feel. UCLA comes to Bloomington this weekend in a game that I will be attending.
Nice.
I can't wait to be back at Memorial Stadium.
Big noon kickoffs there.
It is big noon kickoff.
That's awesome,
which
man.
It's irritating to me because I wanted it to be a 3:30 game, but I'm glad that big noon kickoff's there. You know, we get on national television or whatever, which I still think of Indiana like I did when I was a little, or not a kid, but years ago, where I'm like, oh my God, Indiana's on national television. This is the greatest. Hell, they're on national television every week now.
Except almost. For when they were on Peacock.
Well, yeah. they've actually been on Peacock twice this year. Iowa and Michigan State, both games are on Peacock. But this is an interesting game to me from this standpoint. UCLA clearly has been a totally different ball club since they fired their coach and elevated the other guys, got
I
rid
bet
of their,
them every damn game.
I thought it was interesting that Cignetti in his press conference this week said, we have only watched film on them from these three games. He said, we consider them to be 3-0, which I thought was very smart.
Well, of course it is.
Very smart. I do like the fact that Indiana has three games of tape on these guys. I think the line, personally, I think the line is crazy at 24.5. I'm not saying that Indiana can't cover that. I'm just saying I would not touch that in a billion years I think that the quarterback has been playing great.
I bet somebody did on this podcast.
Well, we'll get to that here in a little bit.
I mean, that's a lot of points. And, yeah, you all been kicking the world on fire.
I think.
Kicking the world in the teeth, and I'm just not sure.
I think that Indiana will dominate their defense. I have no question about
that.
They
ain't seen no one like you all
yet.
But
I do think that UCLA has the ability to move the football and score some points. So, personally, I would not bet on this game, but I do think Indiana wins this game fairly comfortably.
Right.
Is my thought.
I agree with that
bet,
completely.
Man, I'd add two to that, bet UCLA.
Yeah, I just think it's a lot of points.
No, that's what I'm saying. Take UCLA and the points.
I briefly talked about Bama and South Carolina.
Bama's
a 12.5-point favorite.
Little buddy's going to pull all his bells and whistles out for this one.
I would be
me.
Inclined to think that Bama covers that 12.5, but I would not bet it, is where I'm at with that. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I have bet Bama three times this year. And I rarely bet Bama, and I'm betting them again.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Me too, buddy.
Yeah. It's not
one of my five choices tonight, but I've already bet them.
Here is a game that I am interested in just from the betting and point spread standpoint. I have bet against Wisconsin 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, God, yes.
And I'm going to bet against them again this
for
week.
Sure.
They travel to Oregon. And I think Rutgers is two notches above Wisconsin. And Oregon did that at Rutgers. I cannot imagine what Oregon is going to do to Wisconsin this weekend.
Those Badgers, they don't even like playing football anymore. They're ready for the season to be over with. They don't want to do it anymore. Dude, they definitely don't want to fly out to Oregon and have to deal with that shit.
No, no. Like, and I want to comment on that because I was watching Barstool today, and one of the guys on there, I'm sure you know all their names, but he's a diehard, I guess, Wisconsin
Big Cat.
Guy. Big Cat. Oh, yeah, Big Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some very interesting things to say that I totally agreed with him on, because if you remember the last show last week, I said Luke Fickell will be fired before this show started tonight. Well, he wasn't fired. The athletic director came on and said, we are going to start putting all our money into making, he goes, we're not going to fire anyone. We're sticking with Luke Fickell, but we're going to put a whole lot of money into this football program and making it better than what it is. Well, I agree with Big Cat. That is the absolute worst thing you can do. This thing has fallen off the tracks. You've got to nip it in the bud now. What are you going to, like, just like he said, I'm echoing what he said, but you come back and you're going to, what are you going to win 6 games next year with Fickell? And then you're like, okay, this thing still isn't finished.
I'm going to tell you right now what's going to happen. Satterfield is going to go to Penn State, and Fickell's going to come back to
absolutely.
UC and bring him and take him to the next level.
Wow. But it really is.
Well, I think it comes down to Wisconsin doesn't have any big boosters, and I don't know what that's all about. They need to get some of these guys shelling some money out.
Well, we talked about it last week on
the
program.
Well, they just built all kinds of facilities for Fickell.
Yeah, but a lot of that's not really like boosters. That's TV money going into that.
Okay.
Get some of these basketball players, these Kaminskys and Finleys and whoever you've got. Get these guys. I mean, get some of that Kohler money that builds Whistling Straits and all that up there in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a football crazy place. If you've ever been to a game there.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
If you've ever been to a game there, I'm telling you.
What's happening right now.
I'm telling you, if you've ever been to a game there, it is a football crazy place. And they love it. And it's an awesome college town. It's a great stadium. The people there are cool.
Oh, my gosh, they're a blast.
And
Bama just had their home and home away this year and last year with them.
How
said
far,
they had a blast.
How far they have fallen in just a few years is it's crazy to me. And
they're not scoring a point. They are getting shut out.
Well,
this thing is out of control.
And
they've
played,
got to separate from Fickell and move on.
Do you think it's all Fickell, though? Because he's proven that he can be a good football coach.
I feel like he's lost the team, and maybe he's lost.
I'm with you there. I just don't think this is working out at Wisconsin, and they probably do need to fire him. But I'm not sure that it's all on him. I think it's just it was a situation that he didn't think was as dire that it was when he took that
job. I would agree with that, and I also think that his style play maybe didn't mesh with what they expect there.
Right.
And he didn't adapt to the personnel that he had when he got there.
Right.
Because I mean, look, there was no bigger proponent probably than me after I saw what he did at UC when they beat IU back to back years against a couple of pretty, like, not the level that Indiana is now, but a couple pretty good IU teams.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I thought, man, this is a home run hire for them. He's going to do great things up there. And it just has not worked.
You have a point, too.
But he'll go somewhere else and be good.
He may have gotten an offense coordinator. They've been, from what I've heard, they've been throwing the ball around like crazy. Like, obviously, I haven't watched them
much,
except when they played Alabama. But they throw the ball around, and that is not what they do there. They are big linemen, big linebackers, big running backs, and pound the football in the cold. That's what they do. That is their way. And you can't really go in there and try to change that culture.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
So good luck to Big Cat. I hope they get back on track.
I don't expect it to happen this weekend.
No,
but,
it's not.
How about Arizona State that we talked about?
Yes, I cannot wait for this game.
Welcoming in Houston, 8 o'clock, ESPN2. Arizona State is a 7.5-point favorite.
Yeah, nighttime out there, and they're playing good.
Do they still play at Sun Devil Stadium, or do they play?
Yeah, it's still Sun Devil Stadium.
Okay.
They don't play at the what are you thinking, the football stadium or the NFL stadium?
Yeah, the other
one. No. No, they've got a great atmosphere out there.
I've been to a game there.
Sparky, the mascot, he's always out running around. I like Sparky. But I don't know, man. I think that Houston can come in here and win this game, but I would say that Arizona State's going to win this game.
Gosh.
Definitely.
Man, well,
7 points sounds about right to me,
honestly. I thought the spread would be less than that. I was looking at 3.5, 4. But now that it's 7.5 and I'm going to knock it to 9.5, which I already have, I'm taking Houston for sure for that amount of points. Winning the game, I think I can see this going. You know how Houston is. They're a come-from-behind team. They come back, and I can see them losing by 3 or winning by 3.
That's a coach's name that needs to be on some of these big job watch lists.
I agree.
Is Willie Fritz.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
He's a great coach, man. But he's old, dude. I mean, I don't know how old he is, but he looks every bit of 70.
Okay.
You know, so I don't know if he's going anywhere anymore or not.
But
like,
you and I love ASU's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sam Levitt.
And Tyson's playing great football right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if Houston has anyone that can shut him down, but we'll see. But that's going to be a fun game. And I just have faith in Houston. I've bet BYU and Houston 4 weeks in a row, and I've covered every time.
I don't understand how they're not in the top 25 right now.
I don't either.
That's a top 25 football team.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah, that's a really good Houston team. This is just going to be a fun game to watch, man. If I was going to bet it, like you said, you were taking it up to 9.5, I'd take it down to like 4.5 and take Arizona State.
Yeah.
But I don't want to bet against Willie Fritz, so I'm not going to have any money on this.
Well, yeah, because you and I are Houston guys.
Yeah. So, but I do think Arizona State has the advantage here.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me what game I have not touched on that you guys have.
That was the only one. I think you've hit on all of them.
Is there anything?
There's one that I want to see, and it's Arch Manning going into Starkville.
Oh, God. Cowbell.
Yeah. I don't think that –
he has any idea what he's
doing. I've missed the mark on somebody more than Arch Manning.
I know.
I don't understand how. Last year, we all seen it. He came in when Ewers was out, and he looked amazing.
Dude, he was running.
He looked like
20
a pro.
Yard run,
yeah.
Leaping over people.
Yes.
Smashing
making
over.
Wonderful throws.
Yeah.
Against Kentucky, he killed every grub worm in the dirt.
Yeah.
He threw
some passes that I haven't seen anyone throw this year.
If that's happening there, those cowbells are going to drive that poor kid crazy.
He looked like Simpson against Florida State for Matt Diddy.
Man.
Ring that bell.
Yeah. So, I am curious to see how that plays out for Arch.
Maybe too many commercials, girl trouble. I don't know what's going on with that.
I think it's pressure, man. I really do. The expectations he came in with, and he's got the Manning name, it's just – it's too much.
Right.
And, like, he's probably going to lose the starting job next year. I don't know if you can go into next season with him.
Dude, I think so. Have you looked at Sark in a presser lately?
Sark may not even be
dude,
back
yeah.
next year.
Sark yeah, is, like, right. looking like, dude, I am over this.
Yeah.
He really is.
I think any coach in America would be.
I feel like he's got pressure to keep playing him now. He might be – I think he would bench him now if he had someone – he may have someone.
Probably.
There, but I feel like that Archie has got his cell number.
Yeah, this is I could see Jeff Lebby definitely getting this win. I don't know, man.
I
Texas,
hear you. This is not going to be easy for Texas.
No. Texas is not a top 25 team.
No.
Like,
no.
I don't know.
And from a selfish standpoint, I want them to lose so bad.
Yeah.
Just for the hilarious hilarity.
But think about the All-Americans they had on defense and stuff. They still have
that defense is still pretty damn good.
But they are.
I think they're just getting frustrated.
Right.
Because they're out there so damn much, man.
You have to be.
Yeah.
And you know that if you give up 20 points, you're probably going to get beat.
There's no running game. There's no passing game. The defense is just doing everything they can, and at some point they just throw their hands up. Like, you can only do so much, man. And I don't see it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I would say that we, as a podcast collective, did really well in our preseason prognostications for most teams. But we whiffed on Texas. I'll be the first to admit.
Texas and Clemson.
And Cincinnati.
Well, that doesn't count.
I know.
Because we weren't going to give them any concern
really,
anyway.
Yeah, and I don't think we're the only ones.
Well, no.
Good Lord.
I was just about to say, everybody whiffed on those two teams.
Yeah.
Because on paper, Texas looked like a dominant football team, and they just haven't been, and they're not going to be.
No. They are who they are now.
Yeah. I want to say one funny tidbit, and then we move on, Travis, and do what we do. But I think it's hilarious. So I'm so bummed. There's one 10 o'clock game Saturday. Like, are you kidding me? Where's my Hawaii? Where's all my late night games that I love when Freddie's been overserved? I guess
you just got to start earlier,
Utah, Colorado, but this is so funny. The game that should be the 11 o'clock game is at freaking 3:30, dude. And here's the thing. This is the poor man's 5-1 versus 5-2. And it's at 3:30. This is normally the late game. San Diego State at Fresno. And I'm just mentioning it because, no, these teams are not that good. But they are 5-1 and 5-2, and it should be the late game. And I'm so bummed it isn't. But, folks, if you're betting, Fresno's coming off a bye. San Diego State's hot. Take the Aztecs in this one, baby.
Awesome. I wanted to, and I had mentioned this to Tuna before we get into last call and all that. I've been making jokes since week one of the NFL season about Indianapolis and Daniel Jones and, you know, fit him for his jacket in Canton and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, after this past Sunday, when they went out to Los Angeles and dog walked Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
And their mustard unis.
Yeah, those were.
They had no choice but to play terrible.
I thought they were playing the bananas.
Yes.
I thought they were playing
Savannah bananas.
And that's the thing. When you have the opportunity, as the Chargers do, to consistently have the best uniform in football or one of the best uniforms in football, and you choose to wear those, you should get your ass kicked.
That's right.
I'm surprised Harbaugh allowed it.
And I was
he probably loved it with his goofy pants pulled up.
It's Dockers, man.
I'm telling you right now, no more jokes. No more jokes.
Oh, no, this is the real deal.
The Colts are legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Yes.
Absolutely.
With an MVP candidate.
They have dudes.
Maybe two of them.
They have dudes all over the field. They're going to make a couple of moves at the trade deadline. I can't wait to see what they do to shore up their defensive backfield.
And that was without Josh Downs last week,
right,
who I think is a great possession receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I just wanted to say, with all due respect, I've been kind of clowning and goofing around. And
Tyler Warren is amazing.
Oh my God.
That guy.
Yeah. Dude. That he's
him and the Cowboys tight ends are just them two are running away with.
What rookie tight ends have you seen come in and be that good their rookie year? Brock Bowers is one.
He was okay.
Tyler Warren's two.
I think Tyler Warren's having a better year than Brock Bowers did.
Last year, Brock Bowers led all tight ends
in
receiving.
Was that his rookie
year? That was his rookie year last year. Okay. So he had a phenomenal year. But Tyler Warren is right there with him, man.
I think it's pretty safe to say that he is Ballard's, Chris Ballard, the GM for the Colts. He's his best high draft pick he's made in the 8 years that he's
You
been
guys
there.
Need to thank the Bears who drafted Colston Loveland over
know.
Him. I don't understand that. That's just, a typical Bears move.
I just saw that earlier today.
He ain't close to what
no,
Warren's,
Warren's
doing.
Loveland will be good, but he's taking the typical
right,
tight
right.
end progression. Warren's well. Doing this immediately.
Yeah.
So
I got my NFL surprises. I want y'all to see if you agree with
please.
Me.
Let it rip.
Colts number one.
Yep.
Obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Patriots number two.
Love this
Drake
Patriots
May
team.
Is,
I was high on them in the preview.
Drake May is now on a, you know, Heisman, or not Heisman, he's on a MVP.
And I think we all knew that
now.
Vrabel was going to go in there and, like,
right.
turn that whole outfit back around.
Now, yeah. now, they put in a clunker last night with some injuries, but I think it's safe to say Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield has been a pleasant surprise. And we knew they were going to be good and probably win their division. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
but they are winning games with a lot of injuries.
Yep.
And then finally, you know, they finally caught up to them last night.
That was
night.
A typical Dan Campbell
I
game
think
last
the
night.
Panthers at 4-3 is a huge surprise.
I tried talking about this a couple weeks ago, and you laughed at me.
I know I did. And guess who's quarterbacking them this week?
I know.
The Red Rocket.
Yep.
Oh, baby.
Ravens. 1-5.
That's
now,
a.
We know that Lamar.
That's an
hurt,
injury. That but, their whole team is hurt. It's not just
right.
Lamar.
But I will say their defense has not shown up this
well,
year.
Well, they're
before
all
they
that entire
injured.
Defense is in an ambulance right now.
Okay. All right. I feel like what is going on with the Texans?
They're a poorly Dude. Coached team. I thought D'Amico Ryans was going to be really good. It's not working out.
Dude,
he has no idea what he's doing. Last
offense.
Night. Was pathetic.
They,
it was. Their offensive line is terrible.
That's what I was just about to say.
That kid's running for his life, and they have no running back.
In the NFL, if you don't have decent offensive line play, you can't win. And they not only don't have decent offensive, their offensive line is atrocious.
Right.
It's bad. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you could put Joe Montana back right. there. And they're not winning football
Who's their
games.
Running back, Bubba or Booba?
It's Nick Chubb right now.
No, it's some dude named Bubba. Or
oh,
Bubba.
Yeah,
Bubba.
Yeah. No,
Bubba?
I love this guy.
What's his name?
God, I'm Bubba. Blanking on it. I'm a big
Bucky.
Fan.
Not Bucky.
No, not Bucky. It's God, hold on, dude.
Bubba Wells? Or
no, damn it. Quit saying names. I'm going to find it because I love this dude. Hold on. We're right there.
I feel like I said it last
week. Woody Marks.
Woody Marks.
Woody Marks.
Woody Marks.
Oh,
he's been around for a while.
Bubba Wells
yeah,
or Woody Marks. I mean,
yeah,
it was close.
It was close.
All right.
Cowboys playing well. Better than what I thought they would. I think it's safe to say that the quarterback is doing a damn good job.
Two of the best receiver, probably the best receiving group in the league.
Bears yep. 4-2. The Vikings going downhill. And I
Carson Wentz is quarterback.
I personally
for
think,
right
besides
now.
The Chiefs and the Packers Lions, I think the Rams are looking really strong.
Yeah, the
right
Rams
now.
Are great
on all both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I just went through there and was like, I'm going to put my surprises. There have been some good surprises in the NFL lately, and wanted to throw that in there.
All right. And that's good, and we will get into more NFL, but I'm glad that we finally started really talking about it in week, what is this, week
Yeah, we
seven?
Usually wait till the playoffs.
If we just do little tidbits yeah. like that, people understand where we're coming from. You know?
But, you know, we're a college football podcast first and foremost. That's mm-hmm. what we pay the most attention to. But I want to remind everybody that we are on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. And look us up on TikTok. You just have to type in, I guess, type in. I don't even know how that works. I think you just type
know.
In Blockout Sports Pod. I think that's what I did, which I didn't even know that I had a TikTok account.
And oh. you do, because you are a TikToker.
But I do, and we're going to have content on there each and every week going forward. If you have a friend that likes college football, likes to throw a little bit of money on it, please let them know they can find us wherever they find their favorite podcasts. With all that being said, as we are in the downstairs pub and it's getting late tonight, I'm going to call last call and we're going to go to Tuna first. Last call with your picks also.
All right, real quick, all you Louisville fans out there, tune in Friday night on ACC Network for Pat Kelsey's debut performance in an exhibition game against Kansas. No more athletes in action. This is a Kansas exhibition game, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see this team.
Is that on television?
ACC Network.
Okay, great.
So the four people that actually watch ACC Network, you got to try to find it on television.
They'll get a lot of hits on that that night.
I think so, too. All right, picks. I am SEC heavy this week. Four of my five picks are SEC matchups. I'm going to start off with the one lone non-SEC matchup, and that's Syracuse plus 17.5 against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech doesn't ever win by a lot of points. Syracuse has a little fight in them.
Coming off a bye.
Yep, I think they keep this close. 17.5 is a big number for that. Then I'm going to take Alabama minus the 11.5 at South Carolina. I think Alabama, earmuffs, Freddie, I don't want you to hear this.
Okay.
I think Alabama is one of the top three teams in college football right now. Then I'm going to take Missouri plus the 2.5 at Vandy. We talked about that earlier. Ooh. I'm going to take Texas A&M minus the 2.5 at LSU. We talked about that earlier.
Yep.
Then I'm going to take Tennessee to cover the 9.5 at Kentucky. Arch Manning's not coming to town. Joey Aguilar's coming to town.
That's right. That's a good bet. I'm going to have to look at that one for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Freddie.
I wanted to say a couple things. Also, on Friday night, I am looking forward to seeing the Kentucky Wildcats that are playing in the same type of exhibition as Tuna's Cardinals and Jayhawks. And we are playing the preseason number one team, and that is the Purdue Boilermakers.
Who have an All-American guard.
Yeah, Braden.
Have you heard
Smith.
Of this guy?
I looked him up, and you know what? He really looked familiar to me.
You've never heard of, even though we've talked about him a thousand times on this show.
Dude, I love that kid. He shot so many threes, he had my head spinning one night. Totally remember him, and I was kind of – I just saw some of those names on there that were freshmen – that have never even
there was one
game.
Freshman on there.
Yeah, well, I didn't know who
AJ DeBonsa
at BYU.
Flaminga Sasanina was another name.
I don't think he was on there. I don't know if that's a person.
Flamingo Sanasasa. Also, I've got some advice for a head coach out there that we all love. This is for Dabo. Dabo, we love to hate you and we love to love you. We've done everything we can on this podcast.
I don't love to love him.
Well, you're a Bama alumni. You're a national champion. You're a Bama champion.
I love
you're
him
a Clemson
in college football.
Champion. But here's the deal, and I know you wear your heart on your sleeve, but you're starting to lose credibility, Dabo. When you start telling your fans and the media and people that don't matter how great you've been and how great you're gonna be and what you've done for everyone, you start losing credibility. It's making you look bad now. Please keep your mouth shut, put your head down, and try to win football games. Everything else will take care of itself. But right now, you're digging yourself a hole, buddy. Okay, so stay out of the press conferences.
He's trying to get that Florida job.
Okay, I've got my picks. My picks are a lot different than Tuna's, but I do have one SEC pick, and that is down in Arkansas. I'm going to go with the Arkansas Razorbacks that are putting a lot of points on the board. Minus one, I think, is what it is.
It is.
Versus a beaten, battered, and confused Auburn team. Okay, I think that'll be a good game, but dude, Auburn's running out of running. Their cylinders are filled up.
They got to be broken by now.
They've had.
I agree.
To. And Arkansas smells blood. Mm. Okay, we're gonna go to one of Tuna's favorite places to watch a game, Pittsburgh. We are at Pittsburgh. I love the spread on this. Pittsburgh's quarterback. They're 5-2. Their quarterback. Poor man's Brett Favre has been playing really good.
Love this kid.
Their defense is still playing strong. They're at home. They got a fresh off of bye week NC State team coming in at 4-3. I don't think they're that good. Mm-mm. I'm going with Pitt minus less than a touchdown.
I think Doran, didn't he announce that he's retiring after this year?
I have not heard
that.
I think he's stepping down or something after this year. Yeah, well, which is crazy.
Look into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Just like Dillingham.
Yeah.
Right?
Whittingham.
Or Whittingham, yeah.
Yeah, Kenny Dillingham ain't going nowhere.
No, not Dillingham. Willingham.
Mm. Whittingham.
Okay, now this one, Travis is going to be like, I don't know. But we are going to Iowa. We are going down to Iowa, 5-2 team versus one of my favorite 5-2 teams. Row the boat, baby. Row the boat. Minnesota is a under, I guess what I'm trying to say is for a 5-2 team, they're putting points on the board. They play solid D. They are getting 9, and that is too many points. I'm taking Minnesota, getting 9 in that. Let's go to Troy. I'm taking 5-2 Troy at home over a 2-5 struggling Louisiana team. Does anyone know that spread? I didn't write it down. It really doesn't matter. Troy's going to cover. And it doesn't matter.
I think we need to know that.
Okay.
Tune will look it up while you give
all
me
right,
your
Tune
fifth
is
pick.
Looking that up while we're putting that down.
I hope it's like 42.5.
Okay, and then we've already talked about this game. Houston, Tuna, one of my favorite teams, getting 7.5, a touchdown and a half point, 6-1, going to Arizona. This is my toughest pick because I probably could lose this one, but I'm sticking with Houston for the fifth week in a row, plus 7.5. Let's go Cougars. What was my spread, Tuna?
9.5.
9.5. There you go.
God, I really wish it was in the 40s.
That's why I bet it, because it was only 9.5.
Here's Colin's picks for this week. He's taking Mississippi State plus a 7.5 against Texas.
There you go.
He's taking Vandy minus the 2.5.
There you go.
He's taking LSU plus 2.5.
Oh.
We're going against each other on everything.
He's taking Arkansas to cover against Auburn.
There you go.
And it wouldn't be a Colin week without saying he is taking Indiana to cover the 25.5 against UCLA.
I want one week where Colin picks IU to cover. I use point total over in the first quarter. I use point total cover in the second quarter, and so on.
He's been winning on those, correct?
Except last week.
When he, yeah.
That's IU's first loss against the spread, right? Iowa.
No. Yes.
Iowa.
Somebody told me that he wrote the coach a letter, Michigan State. He's already got a letter in the mail.
Sig probably has several letters from
Colin
in the mail.
I'm going to say.
Travis wrote a letter
to say,
put some white stuff
I'm
going to
say no comment on writing the Michigan State coach a letter. My picks this week, I have Navy to cover 15.5 against Florida Atlantic.
Okay.
I have Vandy to cover 2.5 against Missouri. I have Virginia to cover 10.5 against Bill Belichick and North Carolina.
They just can't score.
I have Oregon. The line is 33.5,
I
have Oregon to cover 115.
I love it.
Against Wisconsin.
That's a winner.
And I have USF to cover the 5.5 against Memphis.
That's a good bet.
Do you guys have one pick that you feel most confident in that will be on the TikTok this week? I will tell you what mine is first. Mine is Oregon to cover the 33.5 against Wisconsin.
Oh, man. I'm going to take Tennessee minus the 9.5 against Kentucky.
I am taking Troy minus 9.5 at home.
And we will get with Colin to get his pick, and then we'll kind of a teaser alert here. We'll end up with five that go on the TikTok reel.
Yeah, I'll pick one extra one.
As Tuna so eloquently put it, let us know that they are called reels. And a reminder, just look us up on TikTok. Just type in Blockout Sports Pod. You will find us there. You can see Fred in all his resplendent glory in his garage bar giving our
last top... time I was overserved. This time I will not be.
I think it's better when you are.
I think that's part of the charm.
Well, we were
of,
watching games
of getting you on
and
TikTok.
It took a while to
you know
get
how
it
they had that show Drunk History where people would just get drunk and talk about historical events? We just need to
betting.
Do drunk gambling.
Yeah. Well, we do.
But I can't wait this weekend. A lot of great games, a lot of games with big implications. Of course, next week we'll be talking about the World Series. We'll be talking about all these
NBA.
College football games. The NBA is getting going. We probably won't talk about that for a few weeks.
That's okay. We're just started. It's good to know that the NBA is back on going on.
Tonight is opening night, and we'll revisit that in 2 months when it matters.
Same right? with the NHL.
Yes. Want to remind everybody, let everybody know if you have a friend that enjoys college football or gambling on sports, let them know you can find the Blockout Sports Pod wherever they find their favorite podcast. We will be right back here next Tuesday night. We'll drop the next episode next Wednesday for the big fella, the Tuna Country Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. This is Travis Carter saying so long, everybody.